Hello everyone and welcome to Phone Show Chat. This is PSC 869 and we're recording on the Monday the 29th of September, so the tail end of September. And I'm joined today, as always now, by Joe Hickey. Hello, Joe.
Hello there. How you doing?
Hello. I'm all right. Yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you time, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you very much. Naughty 40.
Naughty 40. And to celebrate your birthday, we've had we're bringing on two people that have recently got their new iPhones. I'm not sure why that should be celebrating your birthday, but anyway, let's go with it. Pip Tomlinson, who's come in from Barcelona in Spain, and Chris Kelly from Manchester in the UK. So Pip and Chris, hello and welcome.
Hello, hello.
Hello, everybody. Happy birthday, Joe.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And all that.
Blubber. Yeah, Joe, I joined the 40s club since I was last on as well. And let me tell you, things start hurting more.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wait till the 60s club. PhoneShowChat.uk is our website where you'll find links to all the stuff we do there. Otherwise, if you head for tedsalmon.com, you'll find everything there, MeWe groups and all the other audio podcasts. I will say at the top of the show, it was very, very sad this week to hear that Ian Barton had passed away. It was dreadful news. I was really quite affected by it, to be honest. And that's not like me at all. And he wasn't a close friend, but he's just always been around. And Anne, his wife, let me know. And she said that he had a stroke a couple of weeks ago. He has had a real kind of rough time of it with some cancer he had and other ailments. I remember him last year and the year before phoning me from his hospital bed while they were trying to work out what was wrong with him. He knew I was a late bird, so he used to phone me up late in the evening and we would just natter away for hours on end, it felt like. He just needed someone to talk to, I guess. And so I only met him once, but I kind of had quite a close thing with him for quite a while. And he was the most generous bloke you could possibly hope to meet, with his belongings and with his advice. And he was a real tech head as well. So very, very sad news. Any thoughts, anyone?
Yeah, it's just very sad news, but I thought so with with Ian's family. It's always sad to hear things like this.
Yeah, I had the great pleasure of being on a couple of podcasts with him. And as you say, Ted, he was really a lovely fella. Sadly,
missed. Yeah, I didn't meet him, but he was always popping up on Whatever Works, wasn't he?
He was a big Whatever Works bod. In fact, we got a section named after him as Judge Barton because he was always making the rules about the cost of what can go into cheapest chips. So anyway, there you go. Very, very sad loss. And as you say, thoughts with Anne and the family. Joe, talking about meeting people, you've got something cooking up?
Yes. So there's some interest in a pub meet. So what I'll do, I'll put a poll together to finalise some dates in October. I did suggest about doing a photo walk as well, but some people said they'd rather just go to the pub. Understandable, I guess, but I think I will do the photo walk as well if there's enough interest, but 100% the final destination will be a pub.
Right, okay. So you'll put that in the MeWe group then, will you?
Yes, yeah, I'll put a poll together for some dates.
Great, okay, that'll be super. And right, well, without any further ado, we'll head straight into Apple, and I'll kind of hand over to you, Joe, because you have more of a finger on the pulse with Apple than I have. I mean, both of us are not great, but that's exactly why we've got Pip and Chris here. So, Joe, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to talk. I'd rather the guys talk about their experiences first as actual Apple users, then I'll give some commentary sort of in between. That's my thought. So I don't know if you want to start, Pip, on how you started with your 17 Pro Max.
Yeah, so I got it on release day, waited all day for the DHL driver, and he came at about 7 o'clock, much to my chagrin. And then I decided to set it up, and I did the phone-to-phone transfer, which I've done many times before, and it normally takes about 38 minutes, 40 minutes. But for some reason, I don't know what happened. I saw Richard Yates had a problem as well. Mine didn't fail, but it said 3 hours, and I thought, it's overestimating. It won't be 3 hours. I came back an hour later, and it still said 3 hours. And I thought, oh, okay. Meanwhile, my girlfriend was trying to get hold of me, and that did not go down well because I ended up having to try and iMessage her off an Apple Watch, which, let me tell you, is not an easy thing to do. So it was a little bit chaotic. And the reason I like doing it phone to phone is you do get more data. Like, you don't have to log into banking as much. It takes less security. It just brings more stuff over, but you can't use your phone while it's happening. I think next time I'll probably do it through iCloud, because you can use your phone more quickly and things will just download in the background. But yeah, for me, it was a bit of a nightmare. I don't know about you guys. How was the setup for you?
Well, I didn't set it up. I set it up fresh as a new phone and just downloaded apps that I wanted. But from my experience working in the industry, it either goes really smoothly or, much like what you experienced, takes a long, long time. There's never in between. I don't know why. It's a strange one.
So my experience, I did the iCloud backup restore. So you point the old phone camera at the screen of the new phone with that weird swirly animation that goes on to authorize it. I selected the iCloud backup restore, and then I pretty much put it down and ignored it. I think I was pretty much still using my old phone all the time without any interruption, really. But I didn't watch it and nurse it. I saw it reboot once or twice, sort of out of the corner of my eye, but I didn't really pick it up and play with it until the next morning. So I couldn't say how long it took in total.
Yeah, I think if I was going to do it again, I would do it overnight, because I just think that's the best way to do it. And then you wake up and it's done, rather than stressing because you can't send a message, you can't get into WhatsApp. You've got two iPhones and you can't use either of them. It's not great.
I did forget. Actually, I did have an issue. I forgot my Apple ID password. And it kept giving me other ways to sign in. I gave, like, my bank details. I got a text to my phone number and a text to an email. And even after all that, they said, it'll be about 3 or 4 days before I can access it. I was like, wow, okay. Even though I've given you my bank details and everything on the account, I thought I was a bit taken aback by that. So I just made a new iCloud ID instead, because I wasn't going to retrieve anything anyway, so I didn't care too much. But I thought that was a bit strange.
Yeah, I had the extra complication as well. I've got a Spanish Apple ID and a British, a UK one. So some of the apps wouldn't re-download under my UK ID because they were only available on the Spanish App Store and vice versa. So that was a bit of a nightmare as well.
I use two-factor on mine with a YubiKey, you know, physical key. So that's one of those. You can either stick it in the USB port or NFC tap on the back. So whether that was the bit that kind of helped me sail through, once I tapped my key on the back, it was off and running.
I like the sound of that. That sounds great.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
But nice, just a slight tangent, from a security point of view, they are absolutely brilliant, because it's not like someone can get your phone or get your email address and then have the authorization sent to a clone device. With this, you've got to have the physical key in your hand, and there's a little touchpad on it. So you've physically got to be touching the key as it's touching the phone. So it's about as secure as you can get. The downside is, lose the key, you're screwed.
Left to put a link in the show notes for that one, Chris.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say which phone I got, actually, did I? I got the Blue 17 Pro Max, and I was going from a 16 Pro. I'm now more convinced than ever that my 16 Pro was a complete lemon, because it used to heat up so much, and I was charging it three times a day. And the more I think about it, I think I must have had a dud device, because no one else I know that had a 16 Pro had the same problems as me. But going from a 16 Pro to a 17 Pro Max, I've always had the Max phones, and the Pro was the first, the 16 Pro was the first time I went down, and I convinced myself I wanted a smaller phone. But I'm kind of enjoying the Pro Max again, and then probably by next year I'll want to go downsize again. But at the moment, I'm really enjoying the size. And to be honest, the thing is, the battery life I've been really, really impressed with. And I don't know if that's just because I had a bad 16 Pro, but the battery life on the 17 Pro Max has been absolutely amazing. And it's definitely running way cooler than my 16 Pro is, especially in Barcelona, because they get hot really easily. And I very often, even in September, would get the message that your screen needs to dim because it's too hot. And it's been 25, 26 degrees the last few days, and it's been in direct sunlight, and it's running a lot, lot cooler. I don't know if that's anything you two have noticed.
Well, Chris, you've mentioned the heat on yours, haven't you, as well?
Yeah, certainly charging. Now, I did invest in a new wireless charging stand, which is how we always charge all my devices. At the end of the day, they just pop onto the stand and then they're ready for the next morning. The new one that I've got is an ESR device. It's got a little fan in the mount, which is incredibly quiet. And really, I was a bit worried the fact that it's right next to my head when I'm sleeping, but it's incredibly quiet, so it doesn't disturb me. So I did wonder if it was that was making the difference. However, putting my old 15 Pro Max onto the same stand, it definitely gets warmer than the new 17. And I, for anyone who doesn't know, I'm a motorcycle instructor full time. And I've got an Apple CarPlay screen on my bike that I use for navigation. So at various points, I connect various phones to it. I've got a Pixel 7, and either the Pixel 7 or the 15 Pro Max, when they were running the navigation on that screen, if I left them in my jacket pocket, you could definitely feel them warming up as the day went on. And I'm not getting that sort of thing from the 17. So it definitely seemed, you know, the efforts, the engineering that they put into the cooling in this device does appear to be working as described.
So the Pixel for the winter, 17 Pro Max for the summer. I think that vapor chamber is obviously doing its job, and that with the unibody with the aluminium for heat dissipation obviously is doing a fantastic job for both of you. So bravo, Apple, with that one.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, as I say, I've come from the 15. So it's a couple of years old, and obviously the Pixel 7 is getting on a bit. So I don't know if it's the age of the batteries also contribute to them not being quite so efficient.
Did you two went for the orange colour, didn't you?
Yeah, I see you like that colour.
Yeah, no, it gives me a headache. No, I just absolutely. Sorry, go on.
Have you seen the picture that I put of mine into the show notes, Pat?
Yeah, with the case.
And the case is an even more vibrant orange than
I fully admit that I'm probably in the minority, but I did look at it. I don't, there's something about the I think the blue hides the different colors between the back plate and the aluminium the best, I think, out of all the colors, and I think that's why it appealed to me. But yeah, if you can rock the orange, then go for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely rocking the orange.
I don't know if you saw in my unboxing, I said orange is the new black.
Yeah, but they didn't do a black, which is extremely annoying for me, because I 99% of the time I go black, and there was no black option this year, which I was a little bit surprised about, to be honest.
That's exactly why I said it. Orange is the new black.
Yeah,
it's a very Marmite colour, I think. Very striking, but I must admit, I like the orange on the aluminium frame, but I'm not so keen on the glass panel, like you just alluded to. Like, they are very different, but my cover case covers that anyway, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, I've got the same. So my case, the orange is just on the back panel, The surround of it is black, so.
I got the Tech Woven case, which I've actually been very impressed with, to be honest. One of my friends had the Fine Woven one, and honestly, I think it might have been the worst case I've ever experienced in my life. But the Tech Woven one, I've been running with it. It's got wet. There's no stains on it. It's holding up well. I like the feel of it. So far, so good. But we'll see what it's like in 6 months.
Yeah, that'll be the true test. It does look good, that one. I do like the look of it.
It is. And also, oh, by the way, and also I refuse to use camera plateau. It just makes me want to vomit. So I'm going to say I think it's camera island for me. I just can't. The word plateau is, I know it's an Apple marketing thing, but no.
I've seen a lot of people say that. What's your thoughts, Chris, on the plateau?
The bump.
Yeah. The bump. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So on that note, how you finding the cameras?
I think I said in the show notes, I'm not a massive camera buff, but I definitely like it. I've liked the new square sensor for the selfie camera is really nice. My girlfriend's stolen it a few times and starts taking selfies with her friends. So I don't know I'm not sure I'll do it too much because I'll never get it back. But that's a really nice touch, and I think that's something that's going to will spread to other phones pretty soon. There is definitely the zoom is definitely better. It zooms in further than my 16 Pro did, and I think the quality is definitely better. But I haven't had that much time to play with it yet, to be honest.
How about you, Chris?
In my case, yeah, I'm gonna. Mine only arrived on Friday, so as I say, it was set up overnight. So Saturday was the first time I was using it, and then I was working Sunday. So I've really not had an awful lot of time. I did a couple of pics, which I've popped into the show notes, went out to a local sort of Asian food canteen-style thing. So there's pictures of dim sum and all that sort of shenanigans and a nice frosty pint to go with it. They seem perfectly serviceable. These days, this is kind of the sort of pictures I take. They're just snaps of when I go out with the family. So it certainly serves my purposes.
It's more than sufficient. Yeah, that's the thing. I think the colours are normally pretty good. I find there's like a slightly warm yellow tone sometimes. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but that might be an iPhone thing anyway in general. But the telephoto is definitely a huge improvement for the Apple guys, definitely like a much larger sensor. I think the move to the 4x rather than 5x is a better focal length, so I think that's really good. But what I will say is I actually think I need to do more testing, though. I think the telephoto on the Magic V5 is actually better. It's got a larger sensor and slightly more megapixels, especially in low light. That's where I really notice it. But more testing to be done. I haven't really tested out Apple Pro Raw and all that stuff yet, though. And maybe I should try out some third-party camera apps as well, because I've heard there's some really good ones available, which can do some great stuff. So I'll be doing more testing.
Yeah, my other phone is I think it's like an Oppo A50 or something. It's like a €100 phone for my Spanish number, and that has a camera. Like the camera is like a potato. So the iPhone it always looks incredible next to that. But I'm still not using the camera control button. A year later, I sometimes use it to launch the camera, but I just don't find it very useful.
No, I think it's good for that, launching the camera, like you say. But yeah, I don't really use it as myself. How about you, Chris?
Not having had the 16, so this is my first experience of it. And as I say, I've only had a couple of snaps from it. So I did use it to open the camera just to try it, see it works. But yeah, I tend to use the swipe from the lock screen that opens the camera anyway. So
I can chip in here and say that when I had Steve's iPhone 16 here, I seemed to be the only one that really quite liked that camera button thingy, and I thought that the zoom control worked really well on it. And it was just a nice addition. Now, that maybe part of that is coming from Sony Xperia with a two-stage button, which is clearly much better as a physical button. But much like the Dynamic Island, I think a couple of these things that everyone else seems to just not like about the iPhone, I thought they were actually quite nice.
I've got used to the dynamic. I do use it for things like if I'm getting a taxi, getting that you can quickly look at the island and it'll tell you how many minutes it is until it arrives and for things like that. I'm just kind of used to it now. And mm-hmm. I don't remember ever hating it, but I'm just used to it. And it's something that if I can use it, great. But I'm pretty sure the camera button's going to disappear within the next year or so. I think it's going to be like the touchpad on the MacBook Pros that they had for a few years and then just quietly got rid of it because people weren't using it.
They were nice too.
I think it could go that way.
Yeah, go on, Chris. Go.
Perhaps you could help me understand if you liked it, Ted. I don't quite understand yet, or maybe I've not enabled some setting or something. I was swiping away and I wasn't getting any zooming, so what am I doing wrong?
I might be getting confused here because I also had the same thing on the Oppo Find X8 Pro. And to be honest with you, both of those phones have been quite a long way away from me now. So if I'm going to get this wrong, then don't blame me. but I thought that if you tapped on the camera control capacitive button, it pulls up the camera app. And then when you go into shooting mode, you can slide your finger left and right across it, and it will then control the zoom for you. Now that might be my memory of the Oppo.
I'm doing it now, Ted. And that
right, is, okay.
But mine currently goes to 0.5, 1, 2, 4 times, and 8 times. And then if you go too far left, you get a horrific selfie. So don't do that.
I'm swiping, and mine isn't zooming at all.
You may have yours disabled in the settings, Chris, because you can disable it. Because I have.
Right, okay.
When I haven't actually given it a chance, so I should enable it again, really.
It does have, I've just reminded myself, it does have autofocus lock as well, if you just press
that's
it down.
Right,
again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which I should use more. See, I've just discovered a new thing about camera control that I forgot about. I'm going to be playing with that tomorrow. Maybe I love it.
I should give it a go then.
Ah. Oh. Right, I've just pressed on it, which obviously it's only a haptic feedback, but it felt like I'd done a click and then swiped, and then it seemed to zoom.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Was it slightly delayed then?
Well, no, if I could have just swiped on it, which I'm doing now and nothing happens... That feels more comfortable, but
it probably times
quite
out.
A firm press.
Right.
It might be your case, though.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be.
The case doesn't have anything covering that button. It's just an aperture.
Okay.
It's not just a hole, then. So. Oh.
Yeah. More playing to do.
Yeah, definitely more playing.
Clearly.
Yeah, so okay, Pip, you said go you on, had hands-on with an iPhone Air?
Yeah, just when I was I went into the Apple Store to collect my AirPods Pro 3. And while I was waiting, I was playing with the iPhone Air. It was absolutely rammed because it was the main store in Barcelona on launch weekend. But I managed to play with it a little bit. And it is very thin. It's very light. Well, not very light. It's light-ish. But it's kind of like this, the screen's not really small. So my problem with it is you either want a smaller phone or a bigger phone. I know some people like the in-between size, but if it's an iPhone Air, I would have thought the whole point of it is to be more portable, and I'm not entirely sure it is. I think that the lack of, the only having one camera, the lack of other cameras would be an instant no buy for me. I've heard the battery life isn't as bad as people were fearing it would be from the reviews I've seen. But I do wonder if in a year or two, you know, that when that battery's degraded, how that's going to be. But yeah, I know why they're doing it, because I've already seen, you know, 15, 20 people walking around Barcelona in coffee shops and things with it. And it's a very nice looking phone. But it's to me, it's more of like a fashion phone. Yeah. Do you remember back in the day you used to get I can't remember what the make was, but there was a phone, and they used to jazz it with diamonds and gold and things and sell it for about £2,000, but it had half the features of a Moto. It's kind of that idea to me. It's that idea of having a fashion phone, which I get, but it's just not for me.
Yeah, that's my
Virtu, wasn't it, who used to jazz up Nokias?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Have you seen them caviar phones?
Yeah.
They put like gold plating and all sorts on him.
No, yeah. No, I mean, I do think it's technology that will go towards a foldable phone as well next year. I'm not entirely sure if I'm interested in that either, though, to be honest.
I think Apple needs to do it, though. I think it will. Yeah, they need to do it. My thoughts are exactly the same on the Air. I've held one and it is rather nice. It's a lovely piece of engineering, but for that price and with them specs, I'd want more myself. But I can understand certain people wanting it.
So I guess the last load, the only thing I wanted to mention really was the AirPods Pro 3, which I know is not technically phone related, but I'll be quick. I got them delivered on the Saturday after launch day. I went to the Apple store to pick them up, and I had the AirPods Pro 2, but I do abuse them. I run hundreds of kilometers a month, and well, maybe not hundreds. That makes me sound like the Terminator. But I run a lot with them. I sweat in them. I really abuse those things. So I thought, okay, I'll get the AirPods Pro 3. To be honest, I mainly listen to podcasts more than music. And for podcasts, I didn't really discern much difference between the 2s and the 3, but I think I mentioned in the show notes, to me, the bass was a bit heavier on the AirPods Pro 3. And although the noise cancelling was much better, I think a lot of that comes from the foam in the ear tips now that they didn't have last year. But for me, it was just a little bit too bass heavy when listening to music. But I gather you guys think differently, don't you?
Well, I certainly do.
Yeah, I've got the Gen 1 AirPods Pro. And I never use the noise cancellation and never use the transparency on them. And like yourself, Pip, mostly I'm using them for podcasts. The occasional bit of music that I do listen to, I think the 3s, what you're saying is a more bass forward sound. I would describe it as a richer, more rounded sound. By comparison, the Gen 1s sound a bit light, and I wouldn't go tinny, but they don't have the full rounded sound that I'm getting from the 3s. So I rather like them, because I'm definitely not a fan of bass forward headphones, but I'm guessing it can depend on what sort of music you listen to. I'm more your jazz and tinkly piano, was a bit like Ted. I've actually put two links to the same track, one for YouTube Music and one for Apple Music, depending on which is your preferred streaming supplier. It's a jazz musician who's a harp player, and it's an interesting track because it's got lots of space in it, and it's got some really deep tones, you know, because it's a harp, the range it's got is phenomenal. So I find it a really good tester of headphones, this track. So give that a listen if you feel so inclined.
Yeah, I'll definitely try it. And I also think that they tie into the iPhone a lot more now. So they've got heart rate monitoring in sensors in them now. I actually wear an Apple Watch when I run, so I'm not entirely sure how that works, because I've got two things monitoring my heart. I don't know if it takes an average or if it just chooses one. I don't know how that works. But also, you can use them as like a remote microphone if you're filming a video. So you can sort of, if you're an influencer, I guess you could stand and talk to the camera at a distance and use the AirPods Pro 3 as a microphone, which I've seen a couple of examples of, and I've tried it myself, and it seems to work pretty well. So they're definitely integrating them more with the iPhone now as well.
Yeah, I'm fully in the ecosystem. I've got the the Gen 1 Ultra watch, and yeah, it, as Steve used to say, it all just works.
Well, yeah, I've got the Gen 2 one with the Milanese loop, so I'm the same.
It's one of the things.
Was there new watches this time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, imperceptible differences. It's really, there's hardly, I mean, slightly, and I mean, minusculely, slightly bigger screens. Sometimes I think with Apple, with the watches, I get that they have to bring them out every year now, because if they don't, then, you know, the share price will go down. But I think they could do with loosening that schedule a little bit and maybe making it 18 months or 2 years, because I think the Generation 11, I mean, it's honestly hardly any differences at all between that and the 10s.
One thing I will say is that's quite key is the battery charging, because my wife has an issue if she goes for a run and it depletes her watch massively. And then she hasn't really got enough time to charge it up again before she goes to work. So the newer one might actually work out better for her because of the faster charging. Well, that'll have to be tested. I don't know. But yeah, like you say, there's not always a great deal of upgrades.
Yeah, I think with the Ultra one, I mean, my Ultra 2, it lasts 2-3 days if I'm not using it much anyway. So that's not a problem I've had. But yeah, if the watch charges more quickly, then that's always a bonus.
I don't do much running, so I'd be fine.
I don't do any, so I'm definitely fine.
Well, I'm heading that way. Let me say, I'm getting more injuries every week.
Oh, God. Yeah, I could imagine. So, Chris, you did get the orange one as well, didn't you?
Yeah, love it. And I've even, having bought the orange case for the phone, got an orange case for my AirPods Pro 3 as well. So I am fully in the orange. I am harking back to my Irish ancestry.
You've been tangoed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get political, so I'm not going to mention anything else in the world that could possibly be called orange.
Max Verstappen.
Yeah. What do you guys, are you guys worried about this business with the chipping paint on the iPhones? I would like to hear your opinions on this.
Well, it's not paint, is it? It's anodizing. No,
sorry, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's not chipping paint. What people are doing are dropping it and puncturing the anodizing, which, well, yeah, of course it will. And, you know, that's why I put it in a flipping case. So
yeah, I saw the Jerry Rig Everything video, and that actually made me feel a lot better, because the marks on the back, you can just wipe off. It's just around the edges of the camera bump. I am not saying plateau. That can chip, but again, if you have a case, I don't think it's a massive problem. I think it's just been massively overblown, to be honest.
Scratchgate, yeah.
Every year.
There's something, isn't there? Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. Besides, I'm only going to have mine for 90 days anyway, and I'm most likely going to switch it up. Although you never know, I might enjoy it too much and keep it. Who knows? We shall see.
Ted's going to cry if you become a like Steve did an iPhone.
Oh, no.
The cycle is repeating.
Oh, we'll get into this in a minute. It's not going to happen, I don't think. Well, I think Chris has got a few more things to say, but yeah, I'll get into my my experience in a bit with iOS.
Yeah, so I'm of the opinion that this is a tool, and particularly my line of work where I'm riding motorbikes, and quite often the phone is mounted on the handlebars of my motorbike. So it's going to have a fairly tough life. So I've always had screen protectors on my phones, and this was no different. As soon as it came out of the box, I put an ESR Corning glass screen protector on. I have to say, I've always been rubbish at applying screen protectors. I always trap some dust. I always get air bubbles in that I can never get out. And this was completely foolproof. I know because I'm the fool who proved the case. So you slap your phone into the jig and you pull this strip of plastic out and hey presto, 2 seconds later, it's perfectly positioned, no air bubbles, no dust, no nothing. So I'm really happy with that experience. In use, the feel of it feels like the original glass screen, so I don't feel any different. The case that it's in is quite a chunky thing. It's not a slim light thing. Again, there's some vibration dampening built into the case because it's going onto a vibrating motorcycle, which destroys cameras if you don't isolate it.
That square on the back, is that a mount?
It is, yeah. It's a zirconium square recess that a couple of prongs slip into.
Right.
And the mount has the magnets that align with the magnets on the back of the phone and in the case. Right. So you can basically throw the phone at the mount from a foot away and it all just clamps itself on. It's very good.
It's rather smart because Peak Design do loads of stuff for that fitting, don't they?
They do, yeah. Car mounts, and they do a wall mount so you can put it up in your kitchen, and tripod mount so that if you want to go out and do the influencer thing and film yourself, then they do all that sort of stuff. So it's a really good system. I used to use a system by a company called Quadlock, and their cases were really thick and really bulky. It's like a carbuncle on the back of the case. Worked well, but wasn't half as nicely designed or slimline as the Peak Design one. It really is a good bit. I can recommend their stuff.
It's at the Peak of Design.
There we go.
I used the same ESR screen protector as you, Chris. I always do. As soon as I get the phone out of the box, I peel the big white sticker, that's Apple it. Sticker off, straight in the case, no bubbles, because it hasn't had a chance to acquire any dust.
Yeah. So the combination of that was great. And I've got massive paws, as Ted can attest, because he's shaken them, and I can hold a 10-inch iPad across the back in one hand, so that's sort of the span of my hand. So even with this, with a chunky case on, I find it quite manageable, and I'd quite happily buy an iPhone if they went up to a 7.5-inch screen, 8-inch screen. That would suit me. So I'm holding out for ever bigger ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Fold next year, huh?
No, definitely not. Not having a folding phone. I've still been completely underwhelmed by any screen that has a crease down the middle.
Oh, interesting. What was the last one you tried?
I'm the same, to be honest.
What was the last time you guys saw or tried, out of interest?
So in Manchester, the Apple store is a 2-minute walk from the Samsung store. So when I'm going to one, I usually walk in the other and have a look in the play. Don't like it.
There's a company called Fnac in Spain. It's like the Currys of Spain. And they have everything. You know, they have Samsung and then Apple, and you can go between one and the other. And I like the idea of the Folds, but I do worry about the durability of them, because I really do abuse my phones a lot, and I worry, you know, going to the beach, running, I just worry over 1-2 years. I wonder how long it would last, that's all.
Yeah, I was
aspect ratio is another big thing for me. Because to get a phone sized exterior screen, the interior screen then is pretty square, which you lose so much real estate for a standard A4 sort of formatted document, or you're watching a 16:9 video, you're losing half your screen real estate, so why bother?
Ah, but you're worrying about what you're losing rather than what you're gaining.
Well, you don't gain much.
You're still gaining
you lose
a
so
tiny
much.
Bit.
Yeah, tiny bit. I'm paying all that money for a tiny improvement. So I actually carry my iPad mini most places with me. I'm a sort of a sling bag kind of guy, so I always have me, and I, you know, the actual screen real estate that you get from something like an iPad mini is way bigger than all these folds. So, and it's cheaper and more robust and so not for me.
I worry about the repair costs with Apple, because I know that it's going to cost probably £2,000 at least, and then you're going to have to get AppleCare, and AppleCare, I can imagine being eye-wateringly expensive for a folding phone through Apple. So that slightly concerns me.
Yeah.
Now, if they put telephony into an iPad mini, I'd have that as my single device.
Okay. Interesting. I found that they have got a lot better, because the V5 is way more robust than the V3 even. Been quite impressed with it. But yeah, I was very anti-fold before, so I can see where you guys are coming from big time.
I'm not anti. I'd like to give one a try. Just the thought of going in and getting my phone repaired, or sending it off, or continually worrying about getting sand in it. You know, it's just I might be completely wrong, but it's just a mentality thing, I think.
Just wait till Apple do it, Pip, and then it'll be working perfectly.
Yes, unicorn stardust magic folding screens.
The thing for me, Ted, and you've had both generations, was the Duo. If they'd have kept going with the Duo,
yep,
I'm convinced they could have removed the bezel in between the screens. So if you remove the bezel in between the screens, two flat glass panels butted edge to edge, it would have pretty much given you that seamless experience.
Yep, and I'm sure if they'd gone on with the project, that something like that would have happened. Or though there was talk by them as well about moving towards an actual folding panel. I think that the Duo, myself personally, failed for me again personally, because it didn't have an outside screen. And I get all the benefits of it closing up and putting it away and all the rest of it. But that's the most frustrating thing I found, is with the other folding phones, most of them, the slab folding phones, not the flipping phones so much, is that you can use it when it's closed, and the Surface Duo you can't. And that was just really annoying, I found.
Even with the flips though, Ted, they've gone that way now, haven't they?
They have.
So yeah.
I would actually say one thing that I have been tempted by is the Z Flip, isn't it?
Because
I have to carry two phones, and I've got this Android phone, which is really I can't even say it's an Android phone. I mean, but having two phones, having a really small compact one next to my iPhone, that's the only thing that I have been tempted by.
And it's really nice. It's a great experience. I can tell you that I've had a number of the Galaxy Flip phones through the iteration of them, and also the Motorola Razr phones in recent years. I've still got one, and it's great for that. It really is great to put it away in your pocket, half size. The trouble for me with these phones is that my eyesight, really, over 60 and using the outside screen, apart from a notification center, is just a bit of a waste of time. Whereas the kids with their great eyes and their tiny fingers are able to actually use it on the outside. But yes, as a notification center, it's great.
We're not bitter, are we, Ted?
I think me and Joe are catching you up. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we start to relate to things you're saying, we're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. Oh, dear.
Yes. Let's talk screens.
Yeah, I think the screen's excellent. Yeah, very, very nice screen.
Again, because I'm going back two generations, that might be part of it. But I do think this 17 is significantly better in terms of clarity and colour depth and vibrancy. I was quite struck by how much better it was.
Mm.
Yeah, I was sitting in the park 2 days ago and it was about 26, 27 degrees. And one, the screen didn't dim because it wasn't overheating, which was amazing. And two, it was definitely brighter. I definitely noticed it was kind of as bright as my Apple Watch Ultra 2, which has a very bright screen in direct sunlight. So now going into winter, I won't be able to test it as much until next summer. But from my initial thoughts, yeah, it's a really lovely screen. But I have to give one point to Samsung, though. A lot of my friends have Samsungs, and I do think, you know, especially like the S25 Ultra, I just think the screens are that little bit better. I feel like Samsung don't give their best screens to Apple.
He needs to get an honor, doesn't he, Joe? The screen on my P400 400 Pro is just stunning. I thought that I was completely sold on Motorola phones having the P OLED being the absolute best ever, but this is even better than that. So they're working some magic with screens these days.
And what they do with the eye care as well, along with the
screens, yeah,
is fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, hand in hand, it's much better. I'm a fan, a huge fan, as you know.
What about the speakers?
Well, I was going to say that I'm surprised the guys didn't mention it earlier. I think they're really fantastic. Probably one of the better ones I've ever heard on a mobile device. I don't know how you guys have found it.
Yeah, Joe, have you got the Pro Max or the Pro, did you say?
Pro Max.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I listen to podcasts when I'm in the shower and I can actually hear every word now, which I couldn't on my 16 Pro. So I've definitely noticed a massive improvement in the speakers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Massive.
For me, going from a 16 Pro to a 17 Pro Max, I think the speakers are always better in the bigger phone anyway, because there's more room for the air.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So right. So that was going to be a jump anyway. So on top of that, yeah, it's for me, is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And me coming from the 15 Pro Max, I did have the bigger space, but again, I'm jumping a generation, and the fidelity is way above what the 15 was, with a bit more punch as well. Yeah.
Yep. We can all agree they're fantastic speakers.
Yeah,
very good. Yeah.
Just something Steve always used to say, didn't he?
Yeah.
14 Pro Max. Should we get into my struggles with iOS?
Yeah, go on.
and it's not liquid glass thing that actually, I don't mind that. I think it's actually quite good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Have you put it on your Honor? They've integrated the theme into Honor, and I've got that on my Honor. Have you used that?
No, not yet, but I see it's coming. Yeah, so
really nice.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look at that.
I really like it on my phone, but I really hate it on my Mac. I really don't like it on my Mac.
Ah, oh, interesting. Why's that?
I don't know. It just seems not as well thought out, and things are just like the minimized bars just harder for me to navigate. I don't know. It doesn't work so well on the Mac. I tried it on my iPad, and I quite liked it on my iPad. But I feel like they've really polished it on iOS and iPadOS, but macOS has been left behind a little bit, to be honest. It's just a bit janky. It doesn't look as good. I don't know. It's really hard to put my finger on it, but I don't like it as much.
So it needs some work on the Mac then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the main reasons is navigation to start off with. So some apps you have to press an X. Some you've got like a home button. Some you can swipe from the left. It's just really frustrating for me, isn't it? Like, again, as a right-handed person, I always swipe out on every app on an Android device from the right. Steve did explain to me yesterday that Apple's first party apps all swipe from the left. It's just the third party ones that are an issue, but that's an issue for me. Like, it's so frustrating. I guess you could get used to it, but I don't want to get used to that. So that's a big key thing for me. Notifications, right? So sometimes I let them build up. I have quite a lot of social media apps, partly for my content creation. So they build up quite a lot. And sometimes I just swipe the lot away. I do clear all on my Android devices. But iPhones don't seem to clear all. I don't know why. They clear some, and then you have to swipe some separately, and then you can clear some more, a chunk of another lot. It's really frustrating. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, guys, with that.
No, I'm looking now, and it doesn't actually say clear all, does it? It just says clear.
No, sometimes it does say clear all. This is what's weird. Sometimes it says clear. Sometimes it says clear all. It's like it groups them for each app. But even then, there's chunks of Instagram, and then later on there'll be some more chunks of Instagram. I mean, maybe it's a me problem.
Do you have the Apple Intelligence like notification where it groups the, it gives priority notifications and all that stuff? Do you have all that turned on?
I may well do, yeah.
I wonder if that's something to do with it, because I wonder if priority notifications don't clear as easily or something. I don't know.
It might be, yeah. So I'll have to look into that, because that's a real frustration for me at the moment. Because I do let them build up, and then I just clear the lot sometimes. But it's the same with apps. You know, if you've got opened apps in the background, you have to clear each one individually, don't you?
Yeah.
That's just bonkers to me.
I think the idea was, and I sound like such an Apple apologist. I hate myself right now. I think the idea was, to Apple said years ago that the idea is, and they used to compare it to Android. They said that you should never have to close all your apps on an iPhone, because the memory is so good at indexing what it needs, and it will never run out, and it's so optimized, you'll never need to clear all notifications, which is why I believe they've never put that option in. However, yes, I do agree with you, it would be good to have it in, because even on my really cheap Oppo, I can do that, or Oppo.
Anyone with slight OCD, that just frustrates me. Like, I have customers come in and it's unreal how many apps they've got in the background. It's unbelievable. It's like they've never done it for about 2 weeks. Just loads of apps are there. And they're like, I don't know why my phone's so slow.
if you restart an iPhone, does that clear all the apps? I can't remember.
I'll have to test that.
No, I don't think it does.
No, just opens them all up again.
I think that, it comes back as it was. I think I tested that.
Oh, interesting. So, but yeah, give us that option, Apple. Let us clear.
I do agree with that.
So I've just tried. I opened up the notifications list, and this I did the clear, and it cleared everything. I do use the intelligence for the priority ones, and I know it doesn't clear the priority ones. You have to do those individually. But I do agree with you, Joe. Sometimes you'll say clear them, and there are some that sit above where that clear all X is.
Yeah.
And anything that's above that line doesn't get cleared. And it's not in the priority bit, but it's not in the main list. So I don't know whether it's like a statute of limitations on the notifications, and it's only once they reach a certain age that it then lets you do the clear all. And to be honest, I don't know. I'm just speculating.
So clear clears everything, and clear all doesn't, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
In terms of the apps, I'm a habitual closer down of apps. I heard the hype about, well, you don't need to, but I always have. I go back to Intel 86 series, so you closed everything or else nothing would run. So I've still got that habit.
Yeah.
I think all systems manage it pretty well now, and you don't need to do that. It's just a habitual thing, as I think we're saying. Going back to the swiping to go back, I'm the same as you, Joe. It just annoys me. But I think it's fair to say that if you had an iPhone and you used an iPhone and that was your phone, your muscle memory would just get used to the system you're using. thing. So, you know, I think to be some degree, to some degree, it's going to be just down to the individual and their preference. And, you know, I don't think, to me, the same as you, I think it would just be horribly annoying. And it is horribly annoying, because I want to be able to swipe back on both sides all the time, like I can in Android. But I do understand also that, like a lot of things, like living with, skins over Android, you know, there's some I hate and there's some I like and there's some I get rid of by using a launcher. But if you just bake yourself into it and get used to it, like I have, going back to this Honor, really, because there's some real quirky behaviors in the Honor. But, you know, if that was your own phone, your only phone, you just get on and use it, don't you?
You know what, Ted, you're really right, because as you were saying that, I was just looking at my iPhone and thinking, how do I get back? And I don't actually know how I get back in all my apps. It's just something I do. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you think about walking, you can't walk anymore. It's like, yeah. I'm sitting there going, what do I do? And I generally don't know. I mean, it probably is very annoying, but maybe I'm annoying myself unconsciously every day. But yeah, I generally don't know what I do in each app.
Yep.
You just do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I use iOS across tablets and phones all the time, every day. But I do have Android devices, the Pixel, and I've got a Samsung tab that I also use. And I have to say, because they're not my primary device, that's where I find the friction, picking those up, and then I have to remind myself what it is that I need to do to use those. So yeah, it's just familiarity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's next? Wireless charging?
I think we touched on that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did touch on it, yeah.
Definitely faster on the definitely faster, and the 17 stays cooler.
What have we got left then?
I think we've covered our experiences pretty much.
Well, because Pip and Chris are not really photographers as such, maybe we need to get someone else on at some point that is. Well, I'll tell you what we've got is that on the Christmas special show in December, we've got Steve coming on, and he'll give us a real kind of in-depth look at the nitty-gritty of the camera and photography with the iPhone, and that hopefully will kind of fill in the gaps for us. Because I am aware that that's something that people in the group and people listening to this will want to hear more about. It's just unfortunate that between the four of us, none of us are really that bothered about cameras and photography.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I've not tested it enough yet.
No, I mean,
yeah. We'll get to Pixel Peep on the clock tower, won't we?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much, guys. That's really cool. I did have one little more topic here, which is about Apple Handoff. Now, apparently, according to this article in Android Authority, it's coming soon to the rest of the world outside of Apple, and they're going to call it their own thing, no doubt. The question that was posed is, do people such as yourselves, Chris and Pip, as we've got you here, do you actually use Apple Handoff? Do you Scott Brady jumped into the group and said that now he's not an Apple user, but he said I like the idea of messaging on my PC instead of picking up my phone each time, and I have that with Google's web implementation, and I agree with him. I use that too. I can't think of any other time, however, I'd start something on my phone and want to continue it on my PC, or vice versa. It's great for marketing, but how useful is it in everyday tech use? And I've also, Joe and I have also got good experience on this with the Smart Connect from Motorola. We'd be interested in you two guys. And if you know what Apple Handoff is, firstly, do you ever use it if you do? And is it really useful?
Does Apple Handoff include? I mean, I'll give you an example. I honestly don't use this kind of thing a lot, but at the moment I'm going for my permanent Spanish residency, and the amount of paperwork I have to do is incredible. And for example, today my lawyer was sending me emails on my phone, which I was opening up on my phone, and I can press copy on a long number, and then just press paste on my Mac, and it appears on my Mac. So I don't know if that counts as handoff, but it. For things like that, yes. I use AirDrop a lot, but I mean, very, very, very rarely.
Okay, so Chris?
For myself, most of the time, I'm using mobile devices. So the phone is my primary computer. I have two iPads, the mini, which I use at work, my 10-inch chair tends to sit on the arm of the sofa, so I tend to pick that up when I'm sat at home. But what I will do, and absolutely the thing that Pip just mentioned in terms of copying on one device and being able to paste it in on another, I have used that on many occasions. But what I find is, if I start something on one of the mobile devices and the penny drops that I'm going to have to do a reasonable amount of typing, that's when I bring my MacBook out. So being able to start on one device and then finish off on another, I certainly do use probably maybe not once a week, but maybe every other week I will do that. And then I've got a situation like tonight where I've got the iPad as the second screen, which is working completely wirelessly, sat next to, so I've got the show notes up on my MacBook, I've got the web browser with Teams running on the other screen, so I can drag stuff from one screen to the other, and it's all completely seamless, and I can click on the little phone icon down in the dock and get phone mirroring going on, so I can get effectively a virtual phone screen up here as well. So
and pass through it. Audio.
Yeah. So I do use it.
Yeah, go on, sorry.
I was going to say, I do use it, and, you know, this really is the strength of the Apple walled garden ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do get that. And what you just described there is exactly what happens with Smart Connect with Motorola, as Joe will know. Joe, you've also got experience with the Honor system. What's that called?
It's part of the Honor Circle. So
Circle, that's it. Yeah. So
you can do very much the same thing. You can have your phone on your laptop or your tablet. And what's beautiful about Honor, though, is it doesn't matter what price point. The magic circle is on all product, so you can have the cheapest tablet going, the cheapest phone going, and you've got all of that available to you. And it works really well. There's actually a mouse you can buy, and you can move across each product with the mouse as well, which is pretty cool.
So I guess the question really is how many people use this. You see, what Google are after here, baking it into Android, is making sure that you get the Motorola Smart Connect system or the Honor Circle system across all devices. At the moment, we've got a Microsoft Phone Link, which kind of works, but with different capability with different phones. Otherwise, there isn't anything really out there apart from Quick Share and that sort of thing. And Google are after making this completely universal, perhaps with their, you know, making PCs running Android, which has also been spoken about this week. So interesting thoughts, though. So thanks for your feedback on that.
Because I like the cloud services there, because, like, for example, the show notes, we're all on the show notes on different devices right now.
I think for me it's one of those things that I don't use very often, but if I suddenly didn't have access to it, I'd find myself very frustrated the few times I need to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that, see what Google do with it. One quick mention for the Moto X70 Air, as we were talking about the Apple, the iPhone Air earlier, that Motorola Edge 70, apparently, which it will be no doubt called in the rest of the world, has been photographed and released, or not released, but launched and announced in China. And I put a picture in the recording notes there for you to see of the X70 Air. Any thoughts, Joe?
I mean, again, I don't get who these phones are for. It's not for me. I do quite like the different colour camera rings, though. They look quite cool.
I'm looking at it and I'm seeing two camera lenses, which is a step up, to be honest, from Apple.
So, you know, we'll watch out for that one. It's a China-only thing to begin with, of course. So, Joe, let's jump to Joe Throws, new section. Which is about you've got something to report on this time.
Well, the Snapdragon Summit was last week. I can give a quick rundown. I mean, I've put quite a lot there, so I'll try and dumb it down a little bit. day one, you had Qualcomm president and CEO Cristiano Amon. He marked that it was the 10th anniversary of the Snapdragon Summit since the 835 was announced. They've been doing the summits. And he went on about how AI is going to change. So I won't go too much into that because I don't think everyone wants to hear about that. But it was basically how it's going to be human-centric and that devices will be like sensors. And there'll be an agent that will take all the data from the sensors. So like your phone, your glasses, your watch, your buds, and it will act on that and do things for you. One thing that was quite interesting was the talk of 6G. He said the next generation of connectivity, 6G, is being designed to be AI native, so serving as a critical link between the cloud and the edge. The edge is your devices. 6G is expected to increase speeds, include intelligent for perception and sensor data, with pre-commercial devices coming as early as 2028. So yeah, not too long away.
3 years, that feels like a long time in tech to me.
Yeah, true, but I mean 5G is still very much in its infancy.
I was going to say I was over in England visiting family in Derbyshire a few weeks ago and 4G would be a start.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends where you live, doesn't it? Where I live in North Wales, the 5G is stunningly good. But yes, you're right. You can go to somewhere else and it's rubbish.
Yeah. Well, the problem with 5G masts, they cover very small areas. You can turn a corner and you lose 5G. So you need more cells and more masts to cover larger areas. They're more about capacity, really, and keeping speeds higher in large capacity areas. That's what we sell it as anyway.
Back when I worked in the telecoms world, I was involved in the cutover from analog to digital networks. And back then, one of the challenges that I personally had was to help build out the network and the mass density. Had to increase an order of magnitude to go from the analog to the digital for the same things that you just mentioned, Joe, that they wanted smaller cells, that are much shorter. So back in the analog days, they used to put a mast up on a peak and blast a massive area. And then as the digital technology has gone on, they've just gone to smaller and smaller down to the pico cells, you know, something that's a, there was a golf course down in Wales that we put some pico cells into that were very tiny geography to keep the speed up.
Yeah, it's all very interesting how it all works. There's lots of problems with masts as well, which I won't get into. The landlords can just throw you off their land, for example.
Yes, yeah. Well, so I ran the a site acquisition team, so the radio planning team would throw me the challenge of saying, we want the mast in this location. This is the optimal location. And then it was my job to go and do the deals with the landowners, or sometimes some people have big masts that we do sharing on. And then we'd do that deal, and then the civils people would come along and say, we can't have that because it's going to cost us £5 million to get power to it, so go and put it somewhere else. And round and round we went.
I will say that the coverage in Spain is, even in the rural areas, is so much better than in the UK. Even on the metro, you get 4 or 5G everywhere on every metro line. And when I was in London, you know, maybe one out of 10 metro underground lines, you can get any signal at all. But there are certain, like the Peak Districts, like I said, there are massive areas of the UK where you can be on a train and you just get absolutely nothing still.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. What network are you with, out of interest?
My Spanish phone is called Pepe Phone, which is a Spanish provider, but I'm actually with, I'm locked into EE because I got this contract 8 years ago and I can't change it because of the new Brexit rules. As soon as I change the EE contract, I'll lose my grandfathered in roaming rights. So at the moment I get free roaming all over Europe. So I cannot change this. I'm stuck on, it's like £30 a month, and it has been for 7 years, because as soon as I change that, I lose my grandfathered in roaming rights, which is highly annoying.
Okay, Joe, anything else on the summit?
Yeah, so that was day one. Not much was actually announced. It just sort of teed up day two. Day two, they actually started announcing the things that could kind of come out. So the next generation of the SoCs for Windows on ARM was announced, the X2 Elite and the X2 Elite Extreme, which are very impressive. I'm not going to get into them because that's not what we're here for. We're phone show chat. But the 8 Elite Gen 5 was announced, which does look very exciting. So the new mobile platform is built around a third generation Qualcomm Orion CPU. I'm cut this down shorter. So the CPU is clocking at 4.6 gigahertz that's with prime cores, and then the performance cores are 3.6 gigahertz. But in layman's terms, it's nearly 20% boost on Geekbench single core performance over the 8 Elite. So quite a bit of boost and performance there. The MPU, which does all the API, the AI stuff, has been re-architectured. I nearly messed that word up, to deliver 40% better performance and over 15% better power efficiency. So that's a nice boost there. Enables next-level on-device generative AI features. So they spoke about a few of the features. One's a real-time voice and instruction isolation, one-take audio, they called it, and on-device reflection removal for photography, although I thought that was already a thing, so I was a bit confused that they mentioned that one. Spectra ISP, the first 20-bit ISP in mobile platform, which is combined with the MPU, brings AI enhancement to every frame of video. This was really impressive. And they also introduced advanced professional video, which is called APV, which is a new high bitrate, nearly lossless codec developed in partnership with industry leaders like Samsung and Google. They actually had Google up on stage at one point as well. So that really looks really quite impressive features there. And then for the gamers, the Andrino GPU offers a 23% performance boost and 20% efficiency boost. So for your battery life and performance, should be much better. Introduces Andrino High Performance Memory, what they call HPM, which is a dedicated memory layer to reduce latency and improve ultra-responsive gameplay. I'm not a gamer myself, but it might appeal to some people.
Yeah, sounds very impressive. Did you go to Hawaii and sit in the audience?
No, I wasn't invited this year. I was very hopeful, but it didn't happen. I'll stay hopeful for next year. A lot of all-round improvements. The first devices that are likely to get it is the Honor Magic 8 Pro, which is launching in China very soon, I believe.
Yeah.
The OnePlus 15 is following very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
So not sure when we'll get them globally, though. But, yeah, looking forward to trying them out.
won't be too long, will it? They're just getting faster and faster and better and smaller and all the rest of it. And actually, for not, you know, not really for improvements that Joe Public is going to probably notice in day-to-day use. A lot of this seems to be like for, yeah, if you're seriously into gaming or something, then you're going to notice. But most of it is iterative and most people won't notice. Anyway, there you go. Thanks for that little report. We need to press on because we're running quite long now, which is fine. It's been an Apple show mostly. Just quickly from me, I've got the Edge 60 Pro in, which I got from somebody in the group at a good price. And I'll come back to that. I've loads of stuff to say about that. I've not finished it yet. The Honor 400 Pro is still sitting here, beckoning me by the minute to get my SIM card out of my Pixel, because I'm really, really impressed with the Honor 400 Pro, as I've said before. So more comparisons to come with that in a future show as well. But we'll skip straight on to the, hopefully everyone can see the photo of the month winner for August 2025 in the recording notes there. Mm-hmm. And the winner was, for the second month running, Ahmed B-Bars, actually. He's making really good use of this, relatively cheap Samsung Galaxy A24. And he's doing some marvelous stuff with it, really. This one is called, Red Drop, and it looks like it's probably a hypodermic needle end and a drop of fluid coming out of it with it focused. Chris, you're have some concept of this from photography in terms of how, you know, that flower behind it is the focus is being drawn. The drop is effectively becoming a lens, isn't it?
Yeah. The earliest microscopes actually use this technique where they use water droplets and a small aperture to create a lens. Mm-hmm. So he's focused on the water droplet, which then is focusing on the flower that is behind it. So the flower is a great big blur in the background. The hypodermic needle is silhouetted, and then you've got the flower focused within the drop. So technically an awful lot going on, and it's really impressive, I have to say. When it was up, sorry, Ahmed, I didn't vote for this one, but I really did like it. It's a cracking piece of work.
Very good. Pip, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's amazing on two fronts. One, I would never even think to take this photograph, and I always love pictures where I think, I never would have thought of that, which is most of them, in my opinion. and two, you just taught me something about microscopes, which I didn't know about. So there you go. I've learned two things today.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with this one. I need to give something like this a go, but I don't think I'd be able to nail it as good as Ahmed does, really.
No, he must be very patient, mustn't he?
Yeah, definitely, to get that focus in. I reckon I would have lost patience.
No, as you say, it's a relatively low-spec phone, but that's pretty close focusing to have got that.
Yeah, definitely. And no doubt a tripod or whatever. He hasn't given much detail there, but yeah, really interesting. And well done. A worthy winner for the August Photo of the Month PSC competition. We'll be back with another one of those next month, of course, for September. And just before we go, a quick mention of the classifieds. If you want to join classifieds, you'll need to email me and talk to me about it. We do try to control the people that are members of that group for joint protection of each other, and we don't let any cads in. The only one that I picked out this week to highlight, I think, on the theme of the Honor 400 Pro, they all seem to be 512 gig, 12 gig version, 12 gig RAM version.
That's a standard. At least in, yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least in the West. I don't know if you can get different in the Far East, but so Chris Bates is selling this, £350. There is a small mark on the screen, which is reflected in the price, obviously. But yeah, I'm thoroughly recommended for anyone to get one of those. It's great fun, and it's a super pony in lots of ways, which I'll come back to in a future show at some time. Thank you so much, Pip and Chris, for coming on and doing what I was not able to do and Joe was only half able to do. Any final words from either of you?
Just more research to be done. I say it's very new. I only got it Friday. Loving it so far and looking forward to learning more about it.
Yeah, okay. For me, it was just your phone pick just reminded me the new Pro iPhones are 12 gig of RAM now as well.
Right. Yep. Sure. Very good. Okay then. Last word from you, Joe, or not?
Yeah, it's the quick one on classified. I actually bought a Magic Pen today, so I was very pleased with that.
Cool. Very nice. Yeah, well done. Right, okay, we'll be back in a fortnight's time, unless you force us to have a show in a week's time, in which case let us know and we'll maybe do something with that. Otherwise, it's phoneshowchat.uk for our website. It's tedsalmon.com for everything else. All of our audio podcasts and all of our MeWe groups are linked out from there. And if you want to buy me a copy, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon and paypal.me/Hickey85 if you want to buy Joe one. Otherwise, we'll be back in a fortnight's time. So have a good time, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, all.